Hello everyone, this is Dr. Sudhir Mohandas from iFirst International, the Managing Director. I have with me a very special guest, Dr. Stephen Krause, who's I'm right here in his office at the University Putra, Malaysia, the Faculty of Educational Studies. Welcome, Stephen.
Welcome, thank you for having me, Sudhir.
Okay, great. So, we are going to be talking something rather interesting, and I understand your expertise lies in youth studies.
Yes, that's correct.
And in that area particularly, maybe you'd like to tell us a little bit about when you were in the United States and the work you did, particularly in this area.
Okay.
In relation to you know, NGOs or
okay,
nonprofits. Right. So share with us.
Sure. Well, I guess it started back when I had just finished my bachelor's degree in 1994, and I was basically looking for a job, like most undergraduates once they leave. And I really didn't know what I wanted to do, which is actually quite common in the U.S. A lot of graduates, once they finish their bachelor's degrees, many are pretty much lost in terms of what they want to do. So I was just searching for a job. I ended up working at the first nonprofit that I would work at the time, which was the Center for Youth Development and Policy Research, based in Washington, D.C. And I wasn't particularly interested at that time in anything related to youth studies, but it sounded like something interesting, and I thought I'd try it out. Well, it turns out that I did try it out, and I loved it. And then from there, I really began doing a lot of work with nonprofits there, especially youth-based nonprofits.
Could you give a little bit more insight into what exactly was those youth studies you're doing?
Well, the Center for Youth Development and Policy Research was part of a bigger organization called the Academy for Educational Development, and they actually worked very closely with the State Department. They did a lot of the work in the early 90s, because at that time, that was after the wall had come down, so communism was
you're talking about the Berlin Wall.
Yes, and the transition of a lot of the Eastern European countries to democracies. So AED was doing a lot of that work, but they also had some sub-sectors, and one of the sub-sectors they had was in youth development. So most of our work was domestic. It was based in the States. And we were what was called at the time an intermediary organization, which they don't really use that terminology here too much, I noticed. Intermediary organizations are sort of the go-between between direct practitioners and policy-making and funding bodies. So like we would do a lot of the research, training, we would do dissemination of best practices and that sort of work. So we worked both with direct practitioners as well as policymakers, and really helping to improve practice at the level of the field. And so we would have projects with youth direct service youth organizations throughout the country. And we would be involved in helping them train, developing training materials for them, doing training of trainers, linking them to funding, applying for research grants with them, and stuff like that.
Oh, that's interesting. So, and now it's been what? Over 10 years since you've left?
20.
20 years since you've
almost
left the United States.
Almost 20 years.
And all this while you've been in Malaysia.
Yes.
And I'm sure you've seen how things are in terms of youth studies and how the nonprofits look at things here. Mm-hmm. What's your insights and observations on that?
Yeah, it's quite different. I mean, I've been working in the university almost my entire time here, so I haven't had that direct experience working with a nonprofit here. So I'm sort of answering a little bit as an outsider. But what I do observe is it's quite a different experience. I think one of the unique things about the U.S. is that they have a very well-developed and very mature third sector. The nonprofit sector there is really massive, and it plays a huge role in how the country functions as a democracy. I mean, the last NGO, the last nonprofit I worked for before I left there was a very different. We were very much community-based, neighborhood-based, working also in Washington, D.C., but not at a national level. Working really with neighborhoods, with people on the ground in low-income communities and stuff like that. And the reason those kind of organizations existed over there is because they're trying to meet a need that the government and the private sector cannot meet. or don't want to meet.
There's a gap somewhere.
There's no incentive to make money for the private sector, or the government. It's not a niche area that the government can really directly get involved with.
But isn't that happening over here as well?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I'm not sure to what degree it is happening. I mean, I think it is happening to some degree, sure.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I noticed that's quite different to me is that over in the States, a lot of the nonprofit funding is provided by foundations. And these are US based, some are even locally based, some are national. Like you have the big Ford Foundation, Carnegie Foundation, you have these really big, and actually international foundations, but they're based in the US. They provide a lot of funding for these types of programs, especially in this area of social services and education and so forth. So like currently right now, even in Malaysia, I'm getting a grant from the Spencer Foundation. The Spencer Foundation is a family foundation based in the US, and they provide funding just for research, education-based research. A lot of it is in the US, but they also provide some to overseas researchers like myself. So they exist solely to provide funds for researchers to study education. Right? So you have a lot of these niche funds that provide a lot of support to the work that goes on in the nonprofit sector. So I think that's one thing that as Malaysia continues to mature as a democracy, I think we'll see more of that.
So are you saying that a lot more nonprofits should be looking into this as an opportunity to receive funds?
Yes, because I think if you want to remain independent as a third sector, you need your sources of funding to also be independent. I mean, to me, it doesn't make sense where a lot of nonprofits, they get a lot of their money from the government. Now, of course, even in the States, some nonprofits do get the money from the government. Like in the US, they have these things called block grants. So they put out money for any organization to apply for to do work in a certain area. Okay, so maybe Malaysia has something like that. But that's over there. That's, I think, still a small portion of funds for the nonprofit sector. It's not the majority of the funds. So it allows the third sector to really remain independent. They're not reliant on funds from the government per se, or even private companies, which tend to also have a certain agenda oftentimes.
And you've done a lot of work on the youth studies in Malaysia, right? And over those 20 years you've been focusing on that, how have you seen a lot of the NGOs step up to provide their expertise or their knowledge or their, you know, the data they have that they have collected?
Yeah.
How have you seen that?
Well, I think one of the things about the youth sector here is that we still haven't really developed a research and database culture. It's not something I think that's really valued yet. In fact, even if you go into the ministries, you'll find that even the government ministries lack a lot of really good quality data on a lot of the issues that are affecting young people today. So of course, when you have those, and I think our Deputy Prime Minister recently mentioned this as well, and some of the MPs were talking about, it was Hani Yao. She talked about how hard it is to get really good data about some of these really major issues that are facing young people and families and communities in the country. And it's really hard to develop sound policies without good data. So I think one of the things that we're trying to do in the youth sector is trying to do more good quality research and to show how research findings can be used to influence policy and to develop sound policies, not just at the government federal level, but even at the organizational level. In fact, we're working now with a couple of small NGOs and we're trying to do some work with them to get them to do their own research and to show how that research can help them in their programming. You know, so I think the sector is developing, but I think there's a few, some of those really important needs are still missing.
And so moving forward into the future now, what will be your recommendations to the NGOs out there, the nonprofits out there, the foundations that are looking into youth development or youth improvement, whatever you call it, but trying to make sure that they are focused on the youth? What will be some of your recommendations if for them moving forward, taking into consideration that if they're based on your understanding and experience?
I mean, one of the things that I really focus on now in my work is participatory approaches to youth work and youth service delivery, which is really about involving young people in every aspect of the work. And I think that's something that, again, it has a lot to do with Malaysian culture as well. Malaysia tends to be a very hierarchical culture. I think for a lot of adults, even in the youth sector, a lot of adults have a hard time inviting young people to be really partners in the process. But I think to really walk the talk of youth development, you need young people to be involved in that process. That's how they learn. That's how they learn to be leaders. That's how they learn to make sound decisions. That's how they learn to develop the skills that they need. I mean, all the skills we're talking about now that young people need, we say they need to be entrepreneurial, they need to be critical thinkers and all that stuff. I mean, how do they develop that if they're not involved in that process of actually making decisions about the organizations that they're the stakeholders in? Okay, so I think that's really where the sector needs to begin to move. And if you look at the most recent version of the National Youth Policy, which came out in 2015, one of the core thrusts of the National Youth Policy is actually involving young people as partners in, and there's even actually a section of the policy where it talks about, and it gives examples of young people being involved as full participants in hospital boards, in local boards, in every organization. They're talking about it, but we're not really, doing it to the extent that we should be doing it. So I think that's for an NGO. I mean, nonprofits are the ones to really be leading this because they're the ones that are often small. They're flexible. They can adapt quickly. They can be innovative. So I mean, they can really take a major leading role in showing the way and how to do this. Because I mean, the government's gonna take them a while. Governments always take a while. They're bureaucratic. They're slow. You know, it's like the big oil tanker. It takes a long time to turn course. Right. That tends to be the way government works. But with nonprofits, they're light, they're nimble, they're small. They can make these innovative types of decisions and implement these practices quite easily. It just takes that visionary leadership and the effort and, all the best practices that go along with that, I think.
Excellent. Well, thanks very much, Stephen, for all your insights into this area of subject. Listeners, you can get in touch with this podcast over www.ifirstinternational.com. We have many other podcasts on air on this particular website. Thanks again, Stephen.
Thank you for having me, Stephen.